First Peter chapter 2, and looks like we are going to be able to finish chapter 2 tonight, and I hope that this book of the Bible has been a blessing to you. So if you'll stand out of love and respect for the Word of God, we're going to read tonight. I'll read out loud. You can follow along silently, and I'm going to begin in verse 11. And as Peter goes through and he's again speaking to these dear folks, I'm going to read down through 25. He's trying to help these Gentile believers further their walk with Christ and really understand the God of the Hebrews. Okay. And Jesus Christ, the Messiah. And he's really wanting them to have a good relationship with God. Verse number 11 says, "Dearly beloved, I beseech you as strangers and pilgrims, abstain from fleshly lusts which war against the soul, having your conversation honest among the Gentiles, that whereas they speak against you as evildoers, they may by your good works, which they shall behold, glorify God in the day of visitation. Submit yourselves to every ordinance of man for the Lord's sake, whether it be to the king as supreme or unto governors as unto them that are sent by him for the punishment of evildoers and for the praise of them that do well. For so is the will of God, that with well-doing ye may put to silence the ignorance of foolish men. As free, and not using your liberty for a cloak of maliciousness, but as the servants of God, honor all men, love the brotherhood, fear God, honor the king. Servants, be subject to your masters with all fear, not only to the good and gentle, but also to the froward. For this is thankworthy, if a man for conscience toward God endure grief, suffering wrongfully. For what glory is it, if when ye be buffeted for your faults, ye shall take it patiently? But if, when ye do well and suffer for it, ye take it patiently, this is acceptable with God. For even hereunto were ye called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example, that ye should follow in his steps, who did no sin, neither was guile found in his mouth, who, when he was reviled, reviled not again. When he suffered, he threatened not, but committed himself to him that judgeth righteously, who his own self bare our sins in his own body on the tree, that we, being dead to sins, should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes ye were healed. For ye were as sheep going astray, but are now returned unto the shepherd and bishop of your souls." Now, let's look back at verses 11 and 12. We covered much of this last week, but I just want to just kind of go over just a little bit of it here. You understand that we are different. We're born again. We're new creatures in Christ. We have a different life to live, and we're sojourners here. We're strangers and pilgrims. We're not supposed to be alive to the fleshly lusts of this world, and we're not supposed to be alive to the things that the world loves and the world likes. We're supposed to be dead to all that because we have something better. We have Jesus Christ. We have a heavenly home. We have a different kind of life to look forward to. We have a different city to look forward to, a different country, a different king, if you will. A different people. We're a holy nation. We're a peculiar people. We're a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people. And that's just who we are. And we don't need to be caught up in this world. We don't need to be caught up in sin. We are free from that. As we were discussing, I had a meeting on Friday with several of the guys, and we were planning camp. And I'm excited for camp this year. It's going to be a great time. We're looking for more churches to join in and be a part of camp. And I want to thank each one of you that helps to give to camp and helps our people go to camp. And then Many of you, you help and volunteer and give of your time to go with us to camp to help wrangle the kids. And they need lots of wrangling. Y'all can say amen. It's okay. Amen just means I agree. And you should agree. Thank you, sir. Thank you. Come on, Nathan. You're one of my biggest advocates over here. And you just...
Amen.
Okay, finally. He's just over there going... All right. But we were talking about camp and we settled on a theme for teen camp, Better Things. And we settled on this thing about liberty, standing in our liberty. And, for junior camp, and it's going to be great. We're going to go full hog, patriotic theme for junior camp. It's going to be a lot of fun. Very cool. I think the teams are going to be the Stars and the Stripes, and it's going to be awesome. I'm trying to talk Brother Caleb into dressing up like Uncle Sam. So we'll see. We'll get him the full on suit and everything, you know, and that'll be great. I mentioned that because of this thing of liberty, and yes, we're free, but not free to do whatever we want. Yes, we have grace, but it's not grace bestowed upon us so that we can live however we want. Yes, we have the privilege of prayer, but we don't pray and just expect God to give us whatever we want. It's freedom, yet servitude. It's freedom, yet submission. It's freedom, or if you will, it's freedom to serve and freedom to submit. We've been liberated from this flesh. We've been liberated from the condemnation of it. We've been liberated from hell. We've been liberated from all these things unto God. And that's where people get messed up. That's where people miss the boat, if you will. They don't understand that when we're saved and we have a new life in Christ, we have a new family, we have a new country, we're a different people. Now we are God's people. And if you will, in a good way, we're bound to that. You say, but we're supposed to be liberated. Yes. But bound to God. Okay? So what are we liberated from, or what are we free from? Well, we're free from this old life. And so we're supposed to live a different way. And verse 12 gives us a great answer why. He says, having your conversation honest among the Gentiles, that whereas they speak against you as evildoers, they may by your good works, which they shall behold, glorify God in the day of visitation. What is the whole point of going through this life step by step, day by day, week by week, month by month, year by year, after salvation? I've been quoted on this many times. I'll continue to say it many times. If salvation was the only thing that God was concerned about, then the moment you bow your head and trust Christ, He just kill you and take you to heaven. Why stay? Why stick around? Can I give you just a little clue? It's not for you. It's not. It's not so you can enjoy this life. It's not. It's not so you can just go through and experience every pleasure, every experience, everything that this world has. That's not why God leaves us here. And you know what? It's not bad to experience things in life. It's not bad. But if that's your motive and that's your heart, then you have your reward. Why are we here? That's the question everyone wants to know, right? Why are we here? We're here to bring glory and honor and praise to God. We're here to do the will of God. Verse 15, he says, for so is the will of God, that with well-doing ye may put to silence the ignorance of foolish men. Isn't that fantastic? So he says, Peter is the ultimate philosopher. He's saying, I am going to describe to you the meaning of life. Because everybody wants to know the meaning of life, right? We can all float and meditate and sit on a cloud and we can tell people, I know the meaning of life. What's the meaning of life? To serve God. To bring others to God. To let your life be all about God. So that you can put to silence the ignorance of foolish men. In verse 16, he goes on and says, as free and not using your liberty for a cloak of maliciousness, but as the servants of God. You know, one of the categories we're going to study, Brother Frank, you need to remind me, I got you a lesson. Hey, Brother Minter, I got you a lesson. Aren't you excited? Amen. Yeah, he asked me if he could teach a lesson at junior camp, and I got you one. So there you go. You may not like the topic I got you, but I got you one. but we're in the junior camp lessons, we're going to talk about how to get liberty, what is liberty, how to use our liberty, and how not to use our liberty. Huh? Think about that. Well, you say, well, okay, I have this liberty. So he says, don't use it as a cloak of maliciousness. Don't use it for evil. Don't use it for in the negative way, if you will. We need to understand this thing of liberty. He says, honor all men. Love the brotherhood. Fear God. Honor the king. You know, this is how we're supposed to live. So our testimony is under constant observation. We're always in the presence of lost people. We're in constant warfare against sin and the attacks of Satan in our lives. And all that live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. These things are the trials, the diverse temptations, all these things are going to come in our lives. They're going to be around us all the time. And God says, I want you to live differently. I want you to live for me. I want you to show me in your life so that these other people can see it and be saved. We have a purpose. We're supposed to be Christians. Remember that they were not called Christians first in Jerusalem. Peter wasn't the first one to be called a Christian. John wasn't the first one to be called a Christian. Who are the first ones to be called Christians? Gentiles. Okay? Folks up in Antioch. In a different part of the world. Now, there were some Jews there, obviously. But you know, remember, if you study through, remember that as Paul and Barnabas came, Barnabas brought Saul back to Antioch, right? And that was kind of their home base, right? And one of the times, what happened? Peter came to visit, right? And he was eating with all the other Gentiles. And then the folks came from Jerusalem, and Peter withdrew himself from the Gentiles. You know, he put his bacon down and went over here to sit with the Jews. I'm you're laughing. I'm serious. Okay? And remember Paul said, buddy, don't you act like that. That's in the Greek, of course. These Gentiles were called Christians first. So Peter's encouraging these guys to be the type of Christians that would be pleasing to the Lord. Is this easy? No. Is this necessary for success in the Christian life? Yes. We all need to strive for the mastery in this. We all need to get better at shining our gospel light to the world. How we live, how we act, how we talk, like we talked about this morning, the way we process information and think. What has to be the example? Well, I'm glad you asked because I want you to look down here at verse 21. For even hereunto were ye called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example, that ye should follow his steps. Go over to Ephesians chapter 2. Just a few books of the Bible. All right. Look at verse 8. You know verse 8. For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. For we are, what is it? His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should. There's that word should, walk in them. So go back to 1 Peter. Look what he says. He said that ye should follow his steps. Ephesians says that ye should walk in them. Wow. So Peter is boiling this down. Paul boiled it down. He told the Ephesians, hey, you're created in Christ Jesus. You're supposed to do these good works because you're Christ Jesus' workmanship. And you should walk in them. And Peter says, hey, you should follow his steps. He's your example. Christians, can I tell you today, we should do these things. We should submit ourselves to every ordinance of man for the Lord's sake, whether it be to the king as supreme or unto governors as unto them that are sent by him for the punishment of evildoers and for the praise of them that do well. For so is the will of God, that with well-doing you should put to silence the ignorance of foolish men. As free, we should live free, folks. Free from sin. Free from the bondage of this world. Free from the lusts of it. And we should live unto Christ. We should. Not using our liberty as a cloak of maliciousness, but as the servants of God. Honor all men. Love the brotherhood. Fear God. Honor the king. Servants, be subject to your masters with all fear. And not only to the good and gentle, but also to the froward. Hey, whether they deserve it or not, whether they deserve the respect or not, do it anyways, as unto Christ. Why? Because we're Christ's. Why? Because we're his workmanship. Why? Because it was his example that he gave for us. Remember verse 22? Who did no sin, neither was guile found in his mouth, who when he was reviled, reviled not again. When he suffered, he threatened not. When he committed himself, but committed himself to him that judgeth righteously. He said, God, I'm in your hands. Was it fair for Barabbas to go free and Jesus to be scourged? No. Did he complain? No. Is life fair? No. And you know what? You as Christians should be glad it's not fair. I mean it. If life were fair, none of us would have salvation. None of us would have the hope of heaven. None of us would have anything good. Why? Because we're dirty, rotten, filthy sinners. We're cursed. Do we deserve the grace of God? No. Do we deserve the mercy of God? No. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. I point down to that sign and it's gone. It's not February anymore. God's the one. So we should walk in them. We should follow Christ's example. We should live this way. Peter says to these Gentiles, God is now your king. You are of a different country. You're a stranger. You're a pilgrim. You're a chosen generation. You're a royal priesthood. You're a holy nation. You're a peculiar people. This is a different life to live, and you should do it. And we should do it. But will we do it? We have lots of reasons to do it. Jesus Christ ought to be the best reason, right? Because we love him. If he loved me, keep my commandments. Hey, do we love him? Are we doing it for the Lord's sake? I told you I'd talk a little bit more about this Lord's sake thing. Are we doing these for Christ? Are we doing it for ourselves? You say, well, when I get to heaven, I want to hear that, well done, thou good and faithful servant. But what's your motivation? Is it your own pride and your own ego you're trying to feed? Or are you trying to do it for Christ? To be able to lay those crowns at his feet. You understand that wood, hay, and stubble is going to be burnt up and those gold, silver, and precious stones are going to be left. not so that we can stash them in our mansion and say, in a little trophy case and say, look at these, all these things that I gathered here on earth. And, you know, I go over to Brother Ron's mansion and I can look at his trophies, and he can come over to my mansion and look at my trophies, and we can just say, man, look at this, look at, I got this one. Oh, you got that one. Yeah. That's not how it is going to be, is it? No way. No, those are for Jesus. Those trophies are for our Lord. We gotta have the right motivation. We ought to be doing this for the Lord's sake. We ought to be doing this so that I love what Paul said. I don't even have this verse in my notes, but I'm gonna struggle through it anyways. Remember how he said that he would become this for these, and that he would be this for these, and this that he might save some. Remember that passage of scripture? You can go look it up on your own, but that's the gist of it. Well, he said, I'm going to do whatever it takes so that people can come to Jesus Christ, because that's my focus. For to me, to live is Christ, and to die is gain. You understand that's how Christ, that's how Paul lived his life. That's how Peter lived his life. That's how we ought to live our lives. Paul loved the Gentiles. He preached to them. He taught them. He saw them saved. He started churches all over their countries. Peter wrote this book of 1 Peter to these strangers and these pilgrims, these Gentile believers, because he loved them and he wanted to see their churches grow, and he wanted to see the name of the Lord be glorified. He wanted to see the kingdom of heaven to grow. He wanted the best for them because it was for the Lord's sake. We need to serve God willingly, not using His grace and His favor for personal gain, for personal glory, or personal pleasure. It's for the glory of God. All of it is. And listen, if we end up enjoying some things along the way, to God be the glory. That's okay. But that shouldn't be why I do what I do. You say, man, I'm gonna be the best employee, even if my boss is froward, even if he's a slave driver, because I want that raise. That's the wrong motivation. We ought to work for our boss, no matter how terrible of a boss he is, because we want him to see Jesus Christ in our lives. And I want my boss to be saved, if he's not saved. And I want to give him the best chance to get saved because of how I live my life in front of him. So I can put to silence anything that he has to say. And all he could just look at the end of life and just look and said, boy, that Eric, he was something. He showed Jesus every single day, no matter how terrible I was to him. No matter how unfair, no matter how many promotions he got passed over for, no matter how many times he was right and I treated him as if he was wrong, he still lived Christ Jesus every single day. That's what Peter is encouraging these Gentiles to do. He said, look, you should do this. It's God's will for you. I love what he says in verse 20. He says, for what glory is it if when ye be buffeted for your own, for your faults, ye should take it patiently? But if when ye do well and suffer for it, ye take it patiently, this is acceptable with God. We ought to never complain when we get punished for our own wrongdoing. You understand that? You ought to never complain. Why? Because you were wrong. Own it, okay? Suck it up, because you're wrong. And let me continue the thought. This says we should not complain when we suffer and we didn't do anything. But that's not fair. This is acceptable with God. And who's our example of this? The Lord Jesus Christ. You understand that God says, I just want you to be acceptable to me. This is reasonable. Remember Romans, right? I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present yourselves, your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto... Oh, that's the same wording. Acceptable unto God. This says, this is acceptable with God. This way to... Suffering wrongfully for Christ's sake. That's acceptable with God. God says, take it patiently. God says, do well. He says, suffer for it. This is acceptable with God. You understand that God is not going to allow this to happen and not reward us for this. God's going to look down and say, boy, I am so glad that they did that for my sake. You understand that God doesn't owe anybody anything? That's not how God works. God wants to bestow blessings upon us. I want you to think about this. I'm going off on a few rabbit trails tonight, but that's okay. We actually have time. It's fantastic. I turned my clock back an hour just to make sure I finished on time tonight. I didn't. It says the right time. Think about this. Considering this passage of Scripture, from verse 11 down through verse 25, think about your life. How you've lived your life. The choices you've made on how to live before men and mankind. Okay, just think about that for just a moment. God in heaven wants, as a good heavenly Father, wants to bestow upon us the blessings of this life. I mean, he wants to take a big old knife and just cut the windows of heaven open and just pour out the blessings on his people. He does. But our adherence or disadherence, non-adherence to these principles. Control the lever as to how far those windows of blessings can be opened. Think about it. Why? Because God's a good God. He wants to give gifts to his children. He wants to bestow upon us a blessing. Just think about yourselves as parents, right? There are things that I would love to do for my kids that I can't because of their behavior. And the same was true when I was a kid. When my mom and dad come back from their vacation, you can ask them. Isn't it true, adults? There were things our parents wanted to do for us that they couldn't because of how we lived our lives, the choices we made, the things that we chose to do or didn't do. God does the same thing. He wants us to be obedient children. We learned that back in 1 Peter. We're supposed to be obedient children, not fashioning yourselves according to the former lust and your ignorance, but as he which called you is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation, because it is written, be ye holy, for I am holy. Jesus Christ is the ultimate example. I love what he says in verse 25. He says, for ye were as sheep going astray. He said, look, you were this, but are now returned unto the shepherd and bishop of your souls. You're returned to Jesus Christ. You're returned to this example. You're returned to this master workman who made you as his workmanship unto good works that you should walk in them. He said, this is a glorious thing. We should follow Christ's example. Christ bought us through his suffering. Christ had no sin of his own. He bore ours for us. How much more should we follow his example and let our Christian testimony really count for him through a good, faithful, all-around Christian life? Does he not deserve that? Remember what Hebrews tells us? Wherefore seeing, we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses. Let us lay aside every weight and the sin which does so easily beset us. And let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. It's an amazing thing. This way of living is the right way. It's the encouragement of a Peter to the Gentile believers. It's the encouragement of a Paul to the Gentile believers. Hey, it's an encouragement of the Apostle Paul to his son in the faith, Timothy. He says, but thou hast fully known my doctrine, manner of life, purpose, faith, long-suffering, charity, patience, persecutions, afflictions, which came unto me at Antioch, at Iconium, at Lystra. What persecutions I endured, but out of them all the Lord delivered me. Yea, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution, but evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. But continue thou in the things which thou hast learned, and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them, and that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. All scripture is given by inspiration of God, and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, truly furnished unto all good works. And may I add to that, that you should walk in them. That's the heart of the Apostle Paul. That's the heart of Peter. That's the heart of Christ to us. Jesus Christ came to this earth to do a work for the Father. And he did it. And on the cross, he could say, it is finished. Paul was called personally by God. And we're all called personally by God. Please don't take that for granted. But none of us were kicked off our beast of burden and told like Paul was told about salvation. If you were, I want to hear your story. But he said, hey, I've finished my course. I've kept the faith. Can we say the same? That we've done all to stand and to withstand in the evil day? Can we say we've suffered wrongfully? Can we say we've taken it patiently? Can we say we've fulfilled the will of God and honored all men and loved the brotherhood and feared God and honored the King? That we were subject, whether good and gentle or froward, did we submit ourselves and do these things so that with well doing we could put to silence the ignorance of foolish men? Did we live as a chosen generation? Did we live as a royal priesthood? Have we lived as a holy nation? Have we lived as a peculiar people? Have we shown forth the praises of God to these people that are in darkness so that they could see Jesus in our lives? I want to be able to say at the end of my life that I've finished my course. I've kept the faith. I want to be able to say that. Do you want to be able to say that? Back in, we just got done several weeks ago talking about James. Remember verse 10? It says, take my brethren, the prophets who have spoken in the name of the Lord for an example of suffering and affliction and of patience. Others endured pain, right? Others endured. Behold, we count them happy which endure. You have heard of the patience of Job and have seen the end of the Lord, that the Lord is very pitiful and of tender mercy. God loves us. He knows that these trials, these difficulties, this way of life is not going to be easy. But he's our shepherd. He's the one that's the bishop of our souls. He's the one that we're accountable to. He's the one that has worked in us this work. And we should live it for him. With all that we have. With all of our being. With all of our being. And it will be worth it all when we see Christ. You know I love that song. It's number 2 in our hymn books. Just think of the words of the chorus. It will be worth it all when we see Jesus. Life's trials will seem so small when we see Christ. One glimpse of His dear face, all sorrows will erase. So bravely run the race till we see Christ. Is that not the essence of what Peter's trying to get across to these Gentile believers? He says, look, I get it. Life's hard. And it's even harder when you're a Christian trying to live in this and sojourn in this wicked world. But live for Christ. Shine brighter for Christ. Suffer wrongfully if need be. Suffer through the bosses that are good, the bosses that are bad, the things that are the way they should be, things that aren't the way they should be. Follow the example of Christ. Just stay right on. And finish your course. By the way, with joy. Because Jesus, our example, finished His course with joy. Paul finished his course with joy. Hey, can I tell you, the history books tell us that Peter finished his course with joy. These apostles that were martyred for the Lord's sake, we have the same opportunity to do the same thing. I hope that this lesson, if you will, or sermon was a blessing to you, maybe an encouragement to you. Maybe you've been struggling with your life here in this world. No one said it's going to be easy. But you can make it through. And you can do well. And you can shine brightly in this darkness. Because of Jesus Christ.